AOC joins the Met Gala with a message for all of her fellow wealthy Marxists, and we discuss why the ritzy, unearned moral superiority of the Met Gala really matters. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. I protect my data with a VPN, so should you. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben. We'll get to all the news in just one moment. First, here is your reminder. Inflation is setting in. It is not transitory any longer. There are estimates that this inflation is going to last at least a year, maybe two. Well, because things are inflating, this would be an excellent time to diversify into something more solid than the American dollar, something like precious metals. What is your plan to protect your savings? You have homeowners insurance in case of a fire. What insurance do you have in place if inflation continues to ramp up? My insurance plan is gold and silver from Birch Gold Group. If you haven't reached out to Birch Gold to diversify your IRA or 401k into a precious metals IRA, go ahead and do it today. Text Ben to 474747. Get a free information kit on protecting your savings with gold. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, thousands of happy customers. Talk to them, have them help you safeguard your retirement savings. Folks over at Birch Gold, they know what they're talking about. They're going to be honest with you. Ask all your questions, get those questions answered, and then think seriously about taking a portion of your wealth and putting it in precious metals. Text Ben to 474747. Claim your free, no-obligation information kit on holding gold and silver in a tax-sheltered account. Again, text Ben to 474747 to take the first step in protecting your savings today. All righty. So last night was the Met Gala. And the Met Gala is an excellent reminder that Marxists in the United States are cosplaying revolution. Okay, they don't actually want a revolution. They don't really want much of anything beyond simple moral virtue signaling about how little they like the systems under which they have grown rich and famous. So what they do is they hobnob with one another, and they go to very fancy parties, and they wear very fancy clothes, and they talk about how dedicated they are to the revolution. See, the thing is, when you're an actual revolutionary, you kill people who go to the Met Gala, right? If you are looking at the old school communist revolution, you go to the Tsar's palace and you murder him and his family. If you're looking at the French Revolution, the sans-culottes, they go over to the royals and they execute them. What they don't do is go to the party with the royals and then wear slogans that say, down with the royals, because then it just looks, frankly, like you're kind of a tool. And in fact, that is what the Met Gala is. It is a bunch of Marxists cosplaying Marxism. It is a bunch of radicals cosplaying radicalism. They're not actually being radical. They're not actually going and protesting the Met Gala. In fact, I think what is so funny about this is they are cosplaying two things at once. One is they're cosplaying the revolution. Look at us. We are fighting the patriarchy by doing this event on behalf of the Met Gala to raise money for an institution, the Metropolitan Museum of Art, that's been around for over 100 years and is an institution largely staffed by men. And also, we are fighting capitalism by wearing these expensive gowns and these expensive tuxedos made by companies that rake in money. But they also put slogans on them. So that means, I mean, we're real revolutionaries, so they're cosplaying the revolution, but they are also cosplaying what Marxists think capitalists are. It's amazing. I know lots of extraordinarily rich people. I know billionaires. I know multi-billionaires. I know some of the richest people on earth, actually. And let me tell you, they don't live like the people at the Met Gala dress. The people at the Met Gala want you to think that this is what capitalists live like. But the only people who live like this are the people at the Met Gala. It is these celebrities who spend their nights dressing like fools, wearing $10,000 gowns that look like a child made them in art class. It's an incredible thing. And so I kind of love the Met Gala because it exposes them for the frauds they are. You know, there's a very famous essay by Tom Wolfe. It's maybe the best political essay of all time. It's called Radical Chic. It was originally printed in New York Magazine. It was about a party at Leonard Bernstein's house. And that party was Leonard Bernstein and his then wife. And they get together in a penthouse with a bunch of Black Panthers. This is a cover story for New York Magazine. And the whole thing is hysterically funny because it is a bunch of upper crust radical leftists who have benefited from the systems of the United States patronizing the Black Panthers, who show up and are telling them how white pigs should be killed, and all the white people are just clapping for them. Right? That's the entirety of the essay. Well, the only difference between Radical Chic, that Tom Wolfe essay, and what happens at the Met Gala every year is that they are actually not even bringing in the Black Panthers. They don't actually bring in any radicals. They don't even bring anybody in to act as sort of like the exhibit at the museum that they can stare at and say, ooh, those are the radicals. We love them. They actually pretend to be them. It's as though at Leonard Bernstein's dinner party, Leonard Bernstein had dressed up as a Black Panther and then declared himself brave for doing so. Right? That is what the Met Gala is every single year. And it's astonishing. I mean, it really is. And so we saw a lot of that last night. We'll get to we'll save the best for last because we have to. But it began with folks like Megan Rapinoe showing up. And Megan Rapinoe shows up wearing a red, white, and blue outfit and holding a small purse that says, "In gay we trust." See, because not God, it's in gay we trust. You see, like it's the theme was American fashion. Because nothing says respect for America like replacing God with gay. And she's such a revolutionary, Megan Rapinoe. She is standing up to the patriarchy. Every single day she's standing up to the patriarchy by making money from the patriarchy and appealing for the help of male politicians and spending all day long whining about her position as a very wealthy white woman who gets to play a sport that no one watches other than once every 4 years and be a social activist that has not actually achieved things. So that's exciting stuff. So, but at least she trusts in gay. That's pretty exciting. In gay we trust. As we had Megan Rapinoe, and then we had Cara Delevingne. And I may be screwing up her name, but frankly, I don't care because I really don't know very much who she is. Apparently, she's some sort of model. And here, she was modeling a bib/straitjacket. I don't know what this top is supposed to be. And it says, "Peg the patriarchy." Oh, the courage. Oh, the stunning courage and bravery. Peg the patriarchy. Because pegging, of course, is an obscure sexual practice in which women perform the more aggressive sexual act on men. Peg the patriarchy, right? Which, yeah. And she's pegging the patriarchy by being a model for the pleasure of men, generally speaking. And also, she's pegging the patriarchy by wearing scantily clad outfits that say this. And the patriarchy is quaking in its boots, let me tell you. Just, I mean, wow, the courage. You know, by the way, where the patriarchy is actually dominant, you think a woman could wear this? So in Afghanistan right now, the patriarchy is pretty dominant. If Cara Delevingne walked out on the streets of Afghanistan, she would be dead within approximately 22 seconds because she doesn't live in a patriarchy. That's the thing. She lives in a free republic. Okay, but peg the patriarchy, such courage. Oh, and doing it at the Met Gala of all places. I mean, she's not even doing it like a truck stop in Ohio. She's doing it at the Met Gala. That's where the patriarchy lives. Unbelievable courage. Stunning bravery. And we'll get to more of this in just 1 second because it is indicative of the culture gap that has emerged in the United States and that actually has basically divided the country. Everybody thinks in the intelligentsia that it's economics that divides America. Economics does not divide Americans. Everybody seems to think that it's policy that divides Americans. In some cases, it's policy, but more than that, it is this cultural divide where you have half the country that believes that their politics are values and that their values are better. That's what they actually believe. They believe that this is an act of courage to wear a thing that says peg the patriarchy to the Met Gala or to wear to take a little purse that says in gay we trust to the Met Gala, rebelling against the obviously deeply homophobic board of the Met Gala. By the way, who are you rebelling against? I'm wondering, to whom are you speaking? Like the chairs of the 2021 Met Gala are Timothée Chalamet, who most recently was Oscar nominated for playing a gay person in a film, which is still okay, by the way. You're allowed to be straight and play a gay guy, which frankly, I don't understand that. That seems like that violates all the strictures that we have been told exist when it comes to you're not allowed to act like a person you're not. Billie Eilish, obviously very homophobic. Amanda Gorman, super homophobic. And Naomi Osaka. And Tom Ford also is an honorary chair, as is Adam Mosseri and Anna Wintour. I mean, can you imagine a bigger level of anti-gay bigotry than that? And the courage of Megan Rapinoe walking up wearing in gay we trust purse, like unbelievable. They're all cosplaying Revolution Gang. It's cosplaying. It is a mockery. So I'm glad they do it. We didn't even get to the best. We're getting there, guys. Hang on. First, let us talk about a simple fact. A lot of your equity is tied up in your home. It could be $50,000, $100,000, could be more. Cybercrime experts are alerting homeowners, the more equity you have, the greater the chance foreign and domestic criminals will come after you. After all, as John Dillinger once says, the reason that he robbed banks is because that's where the money was. The basic concept exists when it comes to home equity as well. Home title theft is one of the fastest growing crimes. In fact, Home Title Lock, America's leader in home title protection, is alerting homeowners that could already be a victim and not know it. Here's how it goes down. First, cyber thieves search hundreds of public databases for high equity homes. Then they pull your home's online title, forge your signature saying you sold your home, and take out loans using your equity. Insurance generally doesn't cover it. Your bank or common identity theft programs don't either. Protect your most valuable asset. Register your address now. See if you're already a victim. Receive a complete title history of your home, a $100 value free. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. Again, that is HomeTitleLock.com. You wouldn't leave your safe open and then your front door open. So why would you do that with regard to your home equity, which is probably your biggest store of value? Go check them out right now. HomeTitleLock.com. That is HomeTitleLock.com. Okay, so we've had Megan Rapinoe and Cara Delevingne. And then we had Grimes. So Grimes showed up, and frankly, I don't know anything about Grimes other than that this dress is hideous. But this person, Grimes, who I will assume her gender for the sake of argument, she showed up carrying a large medieval-style sword. Now, this sword is special. Because again, remember, cosplaying. This sword is super special because this sword was from a melted-down AR-15. Now, here's the thing about that. So if you are going to do the swords into plowshares routine, you actually have to beat the sword into a plowshare. What a stupid person would do is beat the sword down into two daggers. That doesn't have the same impact. So if your idea is, I will take this very dangerous weapon and I will melt it down into a slightly less dangerous weapon, this just makes you seem stupid, which unfortunately for us, our celebrity class most certainly are. So there is that. And right now I'm just doing the political stuff, right? And then there's just the bizarre, like Kim Kardashian showing up wearing the GIMP outfit from Pulp Fiction. And this is just bizarre. Like, I don't even know what's happening here. By the way, we're speaking about outfits that might be popular in Afghanistan these days. This one might be popular. So you have Kim Kardashian. But then you have Carolyn Maloney. So Carolyn Maloney is a congresswoman from New York. Her net worth is somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 to $13 million. She's been a congressperson since 1993. So she is not a victimized woman in the United States because, let's face it, women in the United States are not as a class victimized. That is a silly, silly contention, especially given the fact that not only do a majority of college students, not only are they female, a vast majority of college students are female. In fact, there's pretty good evidence that males are dropping out of the college force at exorbitant rates and nobody wants to talk about it because, of course, males are the baddies. Males are the patriarchy. Doesn't matter that the patriarchy doesn't actually rule the country, but still. So Carolyn Maloney wore this dress that has these giant banners coming out of the side of it saying equal rights for women. Oh, so much bravery. Oh, at the Met Gala. And I'm just going to point out in this particular photo, Carolyn Maloney, she's wearing this thing that says equal rights for women. By the way, she's most famous in Congress for having back at the beginning of the Afghan war, worn a full burqa on the floor of the House to demonstrate how much she cared about equal rights for women in Afghanistan. Meanwhile, let's say that her criticism of the Biden administration for pulling out of Afghanistan and those women being stuffed back into burqas has been at least somewhat muted. Anyway, in this particular photo, Carolyn Maloney cosplaying. She has this equal rights for women, these banners coming off. And in the background, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 women, all staffers for the Met Gala, who are all masked. She is not wearing a mask because she is a special. She's a special person. Now, one of the things that we have been told is that if you are vaccinated, you are still supposed to mask, right? This is what the CDC now says because they're idiots. This is because they have decided that we have to protect the unvaccinated from the vaccinated and we have to protect the vaccinated from the unvaccinated. None of it makes any sense, but these are the rules. We have been told the rules by our moral betters that you're supposed to mask no matter where you go. And it does not matter if everybody at the ball had already been tested. It doesn't matter if everybody at the ball had been vaccinated. You're still supposed to wear the mask unless you are one of the special people. If you're Carolyn Maloney and you want equal rights for women, equal rights for some women, you see. If you're the staffing help, if you are the poor suckers who got roped into providing the stage support for this little show, then you have to mask up in the background. It really is quite telling, right? You have all the women in the background who are all wearing masks because they are part of the lower class. And then you have the specials. And the specials, except for Kim Kardashian, who's wearing a bag over her head, all the specials are completely unmasked. Contra the CDC, because they are, but they're the revolutionaries, guys. They are indeed the revolution. Okay, in 1 second, we're going to get to the greatest of all cosplaying revolutionaries, the inimitable, irreverent, irreplaceable, so fresh, so face, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez. So much freshness, so much faceness, the fresh face, brilliant, unbelievable, revolutionary, stunning, iconic. We're going to get to this in just 1 second, because I have some thoughts. First, let us talk about a simple fact, which is you'd like to keep your home safe. I'd like to keep my home safe. It matters a lot to me. This is why I rely on Ring Alarm, particularly when I am out of town. With my Ring Alarm security system, I'm much more at ease when I'm on the road or away from home. My Ring Alarm equals peace of mind. You can protect your home with Ring Alarm. Ring Alarm is a powerful, affordable home security system you can easily install yourself. It works seamlessly with other Ring products in one simple app. For a special offer, go to ring.com/Ben. It is the perfect way to start your Ring experience. Keep an eye on every corner of your house with indoor and outdoor cams. See what's happening directly from your phone. Protect your home anytime from anywhere with Ring Alarm. Go to ring.com/Ben for a special offer on a Ring Alarm security kit today. You can build a system that's right for your home, have it up and running in just minutes. That's ring.com/Ben. Once more, ring.com/Ben. One of the other reasons that I love Ring is because it allows me to keep an eye on my kids. I've got three kids that are constantly running all over my property. And if I can't find one of them, which sometimes happens, I just pop up that Ring app on my phone. And now I can check out exactly where they are. You can do the same. Ring is great. Check them out. Ring.com/Ben for a special offer on a Ring Alarm security kit today. Okay. All of this was mere prelude to the greatest of revolutionary cosplayers. So fresh. So unbelievably face. The face of freshness and the fresh of faceness. AOC showed up to the Met Gala. Now, nothing says woman of the people like showing up to a gala where the average ticket costs $30,000. Now, I assume she didn't pay for that. I assume that she was gifted the ticket by somebody in the management at the Met Gala. She wore a white dress from a... I actually was wondering who the maker of the dress was. Apparently, the maker of the dress is some famous shoe designer. I guess they don't even sell dresses normally. So they made it special for her. And she was wearing a special white dress with a slogan on the back of it reading, "Tax the rich." Tax the rich. At the Met Gala, surrounded by all of the rich people, including AOC, who makes $174,000 a year, not being a barmaid, but being a person who is in Congress mouthing off on Instagram. She is not a member of the lower classes in the United States, gang. Neither is Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is a millionaire who owns three homes. AOC is not a member of the blue-collar working class any longer. Okay, so AOC shows up to the Met Gala to hobnob with the rich and famous. Now notice, again, this is cosplaying the revolution. She isn't outside yelling at the people going into the Met Gala that they need to be taxed more. She's not outside telling them that they should be giving all of the money not to the Metropolitan Museum of Fashion, but to actual poor people. Because let me tell you something, if you donate to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, that money ain't going to the poor. Okay? Instead, the idea here is that she's a heroine. It's iconic, according to reporters for Rolling Stone. Iconic! Oh, incredible. She is, here she is wearing this dress that says tax the rich. And we're all supposed to swoon because, again, she's not actually doing anything revolutionary. She's going to a bunch of people who agree with her about taxing the rich, at least when they're at events like this. And then they go home and they say to their accountant, "So where do I stash my cash so I don't get taxed?" That's how it actually works in Hollywood. You have a bunch of Hollywood higher ups. I'm happy to pay the highest taxes in all the land. And then they call up Berman, the accountant. They're like, "Okay, figure out where to stash Cayman Islands. Would that work for you? How do I avoid paying? What's the minimum I can pay?" I noticed a lot of these people are not big on actually the giving of the charity or the signing of a larger checks to the federal government, I've noticed. But AOC decides to show up and she's going to shame them. And they all look deeply ashamed, right? They all look as though they have been just slapped in the face with a wet fish. Or alternatively, they know that she's just part of the game. Because again, Robespierre didn't show up at Versailles wearing culottes that said, "Kill the monarchs." He just killed the monarchs. If you're going to be a revolutionary, you got to be a revolutionary. You don't get to hobnob with the let them eat cake crowd, which is what she is doing. And there's still a lot of people in this country who are suffering, who can't go back to work. In New York City, you can't go back to work in a lot of places because of all the vaccine requirements. AOC's district is one of the less wealthy districts in New York. And here she is taking that, you know, Joe Manchin, who's really bad. Joe Manchin, the plutocrat Joe Manchin. I didn't see him at the Met Gala. I didn't see this piece of work at the Met Gala. There she was, the Met Gala, hobnobbing with all of her fashionable friends, standing up to the patriarchy, standing up to capitalism with all of these beneficiaries of capitalism who are dancing with the mask of the Red Death at the ball that protects them from being part of the rest of the pandemic. It is galling to say the least, for sure. Now, I guess the dress's designer was Aurora James, and she went with her dress designer. And she discussed what it means to be working class women of color at the Met. Yes, yes, wow. It's like Cinderella going to the ball. Yeah, wow. There was AOC. She was sitting in her kitchen doing an Instagram post about how to make a smoothie. And she looked over into the fire and she just began sifting through the ashes for a potato, a crumb to eat. And that's when they began calling her AO Cinderella. And AO Cinderella then had Billy Porter arrive as the fairy godmother and grant her her wish, which was to go to the ball with all of the special people wearing a dress that said on the back, tax the rich. Wow. Wow. And then she turned back into a pumpkin. She had to go back to Washington, D.C. and hang out with all the other pumpkins. So here she was, blue collar AOC, explaining her own heroism. Ah, not all heroes wear capes. Some wear $2,000 dresses designed by Aurora James. Here she is.
When Aurora and I were first kind of partnered, we really started having a conversation about what it means to be working class women of color at the Met.
And oh my God.
Said, you know, we can't just play along, but we need to break the fourth wall and challenge some of the institutions. And you know, while the Met is known for its spectacle, we should have a conversation about it.
Well, they're known about the spectacle. We should have a conversation about it. You know what the conversation is? That you're a hypocrite. That's the conversation. We're standing outside with a sign saying, give all the money to the poor. You were inside after having been given a seat by the Met and partnered with Aurora James, who apparently is the creative director and founder of a luxury accessories brand called Brother Vellies, which, by the way, I should know. Brother Vellies, I'm just going to read you some of the prices from their website. Okay, the Brother Vellies products, I'm going to just look at their shoes right now. Okay, they have a Trist sandal for $285. They have socks for $35 a pair, which seems kind of expensive for socks, I will note. She has shoes called the Beirut Slide for $615. But Aurora, these are working class women of color fighting back against capitalism and the patriarchy. So in a second, I'm going to explain why all of this matters, because it really does. It actually does. The reason it matters is because, well, you know, I'll get to it in 1 second. First, let us talk about the fact that you do not need to go to the post office. Like, post office is great, but you don't actually need to go and wait in line. And then you finally get to the front and it takes forever. Otherwise, you can just do it at home. Why not just do it at home or do it at the office? This is stamps.com. Thanks to stamps.com, you don't have to go to the post office. You can mail and ship anytime, anywhere, right from your computer and pay less, a lot less, with discounted rates from USPS, UPS, and more. Here at Daily Wire, we've been using stamps.com since 2017. We have saved ourselves thousands and thousands of dollars using stamps.com. Stamps.com brings the services of the U.S. Postal Service and UPS directly to your computer. You simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7. Once your mail is ready, you just schedule a pickup or drop it off. It is that simple. With stamps.com, you get discounts up to 40% off post office rates, up to 66% off UPS shipping rates. Not to mention, stamps.com is a fraction of the cost of those expensive postage meters. So stop wasting time going to the post office. Go to stamps.com instead. There's no risk. With my promo code Shapiro, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, type in Shapiro. That's stamps.com, promo code Shapiro. Stamps.com, never go to the post office again. Okay, so why does any of this matter? Why does the Met Gala matter? Why does AOC and all this? Why is this important? The reason it's important is because the same people who call for tearing down the systems are the beneficiaries of the system. If you're going to do something like the Met Gala, it should be a celebration of capitalism. Because frankly, that's what makes all of this possible. It should be a celebration of free markets and competition and creativity and entrepreneurship, which is really what is happening at the Met Gala. Instead, it's a bunch of masturbatory idiots talking about how terrible are the systems under which we live while simultaneously living the highest on the hog it is possible to live and making mockeries of themselves in the process. And you know what? Good. Because it shows what idiots they are. It shows that for them, the political stance, it's like a purse. It's just an accessory. That's all. Okay, the political stance is not some sort of deeply rooted belief system for a lot of these folks. It is not about what they believe in their heart of hearts, because they are willing to shed that in order to go to a cocktail party with all the famous folks. What it is really about more than anything, all of the radical left's most ardent proposals are AOC's dress. They are all expensive dresses built on the back of an incredibly prosperous system saying tax the rich. It's all signaling. All it is I'm a good person because, like, I'd be a bad, AOC would be a bad person if she'd just gone to the Met Gala and didn't say tax the rich on the back. But it did say tax the rich on the back, so now she's a good person. Now she's virtuous. Cara Delevingne, wearing a stupid bib that probably cost a couple $1,000s, wearing, say, if it hadn't said anything, we would just think, look at these decadent idiot celebrities. But, she had embroidered on it, peg the patriarchy, and that means that she is a morally praiseworthy person. Megan Rapinoe would just be a whiny soccer player playing a sport that very few people watch except once every 4 years when the media decide it's important. And then whining about a salary contract that she herself signed. That's all she would be, except for the fact that she walks around talking about how victimized she is in American society and how the institutions are bad. The greatest grift in America is living on the back of the greatest system ever put to paper and then talking about what a victim you are while living high on that system. It is the most amazing grift I've ever seen, and so many of our politicians do it. And this is Joe Biden, who has never taken a private sector paycheck. Okay, Joe Biden has never run a business. Joe Biden has never done anything worthwhile. The man was elected to the Senate of the United States when he was 29 years old. He is a congressional welfare case. And here he is talking about the evils of the system that have made him worth millions and millions of dollars. Hey, and by the way, that system, the political patronage system that made him millions and millions of dollars, because that's why he's rich. See, there's a difference between politicians who are rich before and then go into politics and people who are not rich and then became rich because they were politicians, like Joe Biden, which is kind of despicable. The amazing spectacle in the United States of people who benefit from the system, ripping the system for pay and fun, is just, it's an amazing, amazing thing to watch. And you should always keep that in mind because that's what they're doing. Because what does that really amount to? In the end, what it amounts to is they are better than you. They are more morally praiseworthy than you. You see, AOC is more morally praiseworthy than you. You are just a restaurateur. You're just somebody who owns a small restaurant in rural Indiana. And, you know, you don't think the institutions should be torn down. You don't have the vision. You're not like Ibram X. Kendi. You don't see the deep roots of evil in the system. Well, you know, getting $10 million checks from Jack Dorsey over at Twitter and running a Center for Anti-Racism Research that to date has produced zero research at Boston University. Right? You're just a person who runs a business and tries to make sure that your employees have money to take home and you try to put food on the table for your kids and maybe you try to service your customers. But you don't stand up against the institutions, which means that you're bad and you're stupid. These people, they're special. They're elite. They are better than you because they have not only succeeded in the system, they recognize the evils of the system. And this makes them superior to you. And what does that mean? What that really means is that we are just supposed to ignore everything they actually do on the ground in favor of the proposition that you are bad and you are morally blameworthy. Your life does not matter. Your prospects do not matter. Your hopes and your dreams do not matter because you are not part of the cosplaying revolutionary brigade. Because these folks are like a dog. If they actually caught the car, they wouldn't know what to do with it. Okay, really, if Tom Ford and Timothy Chalamet and AOC, if they ever caught the car and they instituted the socialist revolution that they apparently so ardently seek, they might be quite unhappy with the results. The most ardent communists in the United States have never lived under communism, and the most ardent capitalists in the United States have. There is a reason for that. There's a reason that Cuban expatriates come to the United States and they understand the evils of communism, while all the communists in the United States were born in the United States and went to our top universities. And again, it comes down to the way that they are going to reinforce their own sense of moral superiority is to crap on you. Right? And it comes out in everything they do. It really does. Take, for example, COVID policy. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, let's talk about the fact that life is unexpected. You do need policy genius, okay? You need life insurance if you're a responsible human being. You could be walking down the street and suddenly a trapdoor opens beneath you and you find yourself in an alternative universe where Joe Biden is a good president and AOC is brilliant and the economy is not inflating. And in that alternative universe, you can't get back, right? You're just there and your family misses you in the real world and you can't get back. At that point, you wish, man, I wish I had life insurance and my family at least was taken care of. This is why you need policy genius. Policy Genius makes it easy to compare quotes from over a dozen top insurers all in one place. Why compare? Well, you could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. You could save $1,300 or more per year on life insurance by using Policy Genius to compare policies. The licensed experts at Policy Genius work for you, not the insurance company, so you can trust them to help you navigate every step of the shopping and buying process. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius thousands of five-star reviews across Trustpilot and Google, and eligible applicants can get covered in as little as a week thanks to an award-winning policy option that swaps the standard medical exam requirement for a simple phone call. This exclusive policy was recently rated number one by Forbes Advisor, higher than options from Ladder, Ethos, and Bestow. Getting started is simple. First, you head on over to policygenius.com/Shapiro. You can work out how much life insurance coverage you need, compare personalized quotes, find your best price. Head on over to policygenius.com/Shapiro to get started right now. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice and quite important to get it right. Now, we're going to get to more on this in just 1 second. First, you may have noticed that the federal government has now gone totally authoritarian when it comes to the vaccine mandates. Vaccine mandates, when it comes to forcing businesses to fire people if they refuse to get the COVID vaccine, that is an un-American principle. It is the antithesis of freedom. It is wrong. It's affecting all of us because when you have the federal government override federalism and decide that they are simply going to cram down rules on the little people, that is wrong. We're going to talk about it tonight on an all-new episode of Backstage with me, Jeremy Boring, Michael Moles, Matt Walsh, and Andrew Klavan. I'm sure the Met Gala will come up as well. It streams tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central on DailyWire.com and on our YouTube channel, Daily Wire. Don't miss it. You're listening to the largest, fastest growing conservative podcast and radio show in the nation. Because these folks are your moral betters, it doesn't matter what they do. They can do whatever they want. They can be as bad at policy as they want to be. As long as you are the target, that's all that matters. Now, folks wonder where the populist sort of revolt under Trump came from. It came from FU. That's where it came from. It came from Americans looking at stuff like this and just saying, you're declaring yourselves our moral betters? Here is a giant orange pulsating middle finger to you. And by the way, here's a person who is unrepentantly capitalist. By the way, that's still the part of Trump that I actually find charming and always found charming, was the fact that Trump was like, yeah, I'm a capitalist. And guess what? Capitalism's great. Stick it. Like, more of this, please. Okay, but again, for all of these folks, once they have declared themselves the morally fit and you the unfit, it doesn't matter whether the policies that they are actually in charge of. Now, AOC, remember, is a congresswoman. She's not a singer. She's not a rapper. She's not an actress. She's a congresswoman. Carolyn Maloney is a congresswoman. And they're being treated and feted as though they are celebrities. Okay, but our politicians are actually in charge of policy. You may have noticed the relationship between policy and politician, right? They come from the same root. So what exactly are they allowed to do? And the answer is anything, so long as they're victimizing the right people. So there's a clip that came out yesterday. This is of Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo talking about the new vaccine mandates. And she says, you know what? It doesn't really matter if a few little people lose their jobs. Overall, there will be job gains because then all of the vaccinated will feel comfortable to go back to work and we can reopen the economy if we do these vaccine mandates. But you lost your job because you had natural immunity and didn't want to get the vaccine? Well, tough beans for you because we are the elect.
Are you concerned at all this could have a worse impact on the worker shortage we currently have? People will quit their jobs?
I am not. You know, we have challenges in this economy right now. Supply chains, worker shortages, you know, people still afraid to fly, people afraid to go back to work. All of that can be alleviated if everybody gets vaccinated. So, yes, there is a challenge now with people not going back to work. A lot of that is because people are afraid to go back to work.
Okay, that's such a lie. The reason that people are afraid to go back to work is because of you. It's because of the media. You know where people aren't afraid to go back to work? Red states. People are back to work in Florida and they've been back to work for months. I will not stop mentioning this because it remains a fact. This is a policy-driven gap. This is not an actual disease-driven gap. It is a perception gap. Once again, the vaccinated should be fine going back to work. The vaccines are highly successful. But you guys are attempting to drive a wedge between Americans based on vaccination status and willingness to get the vaccine. That is unjustifiable by the science because everyone now has the ability to get the vaccine. But you don't care if somebody loses their job. You don't care if your policy mandate means that if we acceded to your request, Daily Wire might have to fire 40, 50 employees. You don't care about what happens to them because they're the baddies, you see. They're bad and you're good. And the reason we know you're good is not because of your policies, not because your policies are actually good or right or fair or rights-based. No, it's because you're a good person. And we know you're a good person because of who you are in opposition to. And consistency is of little consequence here. You can switch your position at random because once you are a member of the elect, then there's nothing you can do that gets you kicked out of the elect except to sympathize with the unelect. That is all that happens. Right. So, for example, yesterday, the great and sainted Dr. Fauci, second best doctor in America after Dr. Joe Biden, he came out and he said he's now for mandates when it comes to air travel. Now, this is completely anti-scientific. Air travel has not been a vector of disease this entire time. They have HEPA filters on the planes. Even at the beginning of the pandemic, when there were no vaccines available, there was very little transmission on planes. In fact, you were safer on a plane than you were in pretty much any other area because of the ventilation. The CDC says as much, by the way. The CDC has an entire report where they said, we were surprised to learn that planes really were not being used as vectors of transmission. Now you have Anthony Fauci basically saying, we want to ban an entire group of people in the United States from being able to fly and travel. You're basically, we want to put you on a no-fly list, like you're a terrorist, if you won't get vaccinated. Why, per se? Now they say it's to protect the vaccinated. I'm not kidding you. This is their idiotic line. Kamala Harris tweeted this out yesterday. Now, Kamala Harris, the vice president of the United States, actually tweeted out, by vaccinating the unvaccinated, increasing our testing and masking, and protecting the vaccinated, we can end this pandemic. Protecting the vaccinated? You know what protects the vaccinated? The vaccine. That's why they're called the vaccinated. I was protected the minute my antibodies kicked in after the vaccine. Protecting the vaccinated. This is an attempt to divide Americans, as always. Okay, so here's Fauci saying something completely anti-scientific, but we're supposed to believe him because, after all, he is tuscience.
I would support that if you want to get on a plane and travel with other people, that you should be vaccinated.
Why? Well, I mean, I think you should be vaccinated generally, but why is that a precondition to travel? Seriously, why? And by the way, this contradicts Dr. Fauci circa 2019. So in 2019, he was directly asked by a reporter from Bloomberg, so are masks a great way of preventing disease? 2019, just prior to the pandemic. His answer sounds exactly like Joe Rogan.
And the best way for me to prevent getting an infectious disease and having to have you as my doctor is what? Wearing a mask?
No.
Don't need to do that. I can see they're getting ready to sneeze or cough, walk away.
You avoid all the paranoid aspects and okay. Do something positive. A, good diet. B, you don't smoke, I know. I know you don't drink, at least not very much, so that's pretty good. Get some exercise. I know that you don't get as much exercise as you should.
That's Dr. Anthony Fauci circa 2019. But now, to be a member of the elect, you have to do what Dr. Anthony Fauci says, even in direct contradiction to... It is amazing, by the way. We've gone this entire pandemic, and there's been no systematic discussion of whether Americans should exercise. That is kind of an amazing thing. You can be both pro-vaccine and pro-exercise, which, by the way, would be the actual scientific position here, that vaccines are good. And also, it is better not to be fat. Okay, it is better as a health matter not to be overweight. That does not mean there aren't people who struggle with it, but there are a lot of people who are not doing their exercise and not eating healthy. That is just a reality in the United States. Whenever people talk about the health gaps in the United States versus Scandinavia, it's because we're way fatter than Scandinavia. It's not because our medical system sucks. It's because our medical system can't fix the fact that many of us are gigantic. And that is just a reality. But again, Anthony Fauci is a member of the elect, so you have to listen to him. And if you don't listen to him, then you are cast into the outer darkness. And now they're making it more and more radical, right? Zeke Emanuel says you'll be cast into the outer darkness if you don't want to mask or vaccinate your small children. Now, again, I'm wondering where, like, there better be some pretty exorbitant data on the lack of risk to children from this vaccine, because the lack of risk from COVID is well substantiated at this point. In the United States, the number of children under the age of 18 who have died in the United States from COVID is 412 over the course of a year and a half during this pandemic, as opposed to well over 950 who died from pneumonia in that same exact period of time. Here is Zeke Emanuel, however, saying we need to actually mandate that small school children get the vaccine.
Only 40% of those kids, 12 to 15, have gotten fully vaccinated. We really need that number to go way up. Just to give you a contrast, adults between 65 and 75 who were so threatened before, 85% of them are vaccinated. We need to really mandate, I think, 12 to 15-year-olds to get the vaccine all across the country.
That's unbelievable. Okay, what he's saying, he just compared vaccination rates among 12 to 15-year-olds, for whom we are talking about maybe a few dozen deaths. Everyone terrible, but a few dozen deaths over the course of a year and a half. He's comparing that to people and their rates, 65 and older, which is everyone who died in the United States. Is a disease that heavily skews toward killing the elderly. Meanwhile, the administration, again, contra the science, is saying that everybody should get boosters. Its own CDC is like, nope. The CDC and the WHO are both like, yeah, we're not seeing it, guys. Like, we looked at the data. And what we are saying is that the vaccination had 95% effectiveness against severe disease from both Delta and Alpha, more than 80% effectiveness in protecting against infection from those variants. They noted that waning antibody levels don't necessarily correlate with a decrease in effectiveness against severe disease because you got T cell and B cell immunity, right? Boosters may eventually be needed, say the scientists, but there could be risks if boosters were widely introduced too soon or too frequently, because it might create adverse reactions when you do too many shots too fast. And yet the Biden administration is rushing forward with this sort of stuff. And apparently, if you note any of this, then you will be cast into the outer darkness. Right? Then you're one of the bad people. It's all about being a member of the elect versus a member of the non-elect. And that is why our politics are so broken. And they're not getting fixed anytime soon. Because the culture war issue of our time is whether you think your neighbor is a bad person. It is not the vaccine. It is not racial issues. It is not tax issues. It is none of that. It's whether you are oriented against the institutions of the country and are therefore part of the revolutionary vanguard while benefiting from it, or if you're not. That is how we determine. There is a reason why. I mean, there's a poll that just came out, a Scott Rasmussen national survey, and this is backed by other data. I mean, Kirsten Soltis Anderson did a poll last year, basically finding the same thing. And what this poll found is that 57% of Democratic voters believe that supporters of Donald Trump are a serious threat to the nation. So they literally believe that half of their fellow Americans are a serious threat to the nation itself. That is as opposed to, say, the Taliban. Only 44% of Democrats believe that the Taliban are a threat to the country, or believe that China is a threat to the country, or believe that defund the police activists are a threat to the country. 56% of Democrats believed unvaccinated Americans are a threat to the country. Again, once you're vaccinated, they're not a threat to you. Okay, only 37% believe that Russia is a threat to the country. Fully 57% believe that Donald Trump supporters are a threat to the country. Now, if you look at how non-identifying voters rank these issues in terms of who they think is a threat to the country, not GOP, not Dem, in this poll, the top threats, according to the independent voters, are in order: Taliban, China, defund the police activists, unvaccinated Americans, Russia, Donald Trump supporters, illegal immigrants, and socialists. And Trump supporters and socialists are basically on par with one another, according to sort of independent voters. Okay, but when you take a large percentage of the country, 40% of the country, and you say, what makes you good or what makes you bad is your agreement with my dumb slogan on the back of my dress, and anything that we say together that is oriented against this other group of people, we don't care if they lose their jobs, they're the baddies, then what you end up with is a country that is broken beyond repair. And it's not a shock that you're gonna end up with the sorting mechanism that you've seen in terms of American population movements. It is not a shock that you've seen people like me and my family move from California to Florida, because who wants to live in an area where your neighbors look at you cross-eyed because you voted a way that didn't want you to vote, or because you live a lifestyle they don't want you to live? Who wants to do that? The answer is nobody. And so what you're gonna end up with, because of the culture war stuff, it is all culture war all the way down. Donald Trump was not elected because of his economic program. Donald Trump was not elected because of his foreign policy program. No one could name what those programs were in 2016. He was elected because Donald Trump was a giant F you to this entire group of people who say that anyone who disagrees with them is part of the damned and are going straight to hell. There is a paganistic religious perspective. And what you see at the Met Gala every single year is the pagan priesthood at work. And if you can't see that is why it's amazing, because I think the independent voter, the Republican voter, they look at Democrats and like, I don't understand why people are treating Joe Biden or treating this administration or treating Barack Obama, for that matter, treating these people like they're good at what they do. Like, who looks at the way that these folks handle the issues and thinks to themselves, those people need more control over my life? You understand? For the people who vote for that, it is not about that group of people having more control over their lives. It's about they're willing to take the hit so that they will have control over your life. There's a very famous episode in the extended Bible, not the five books of Moses, but in the prophets. There's a very famous episode in which two women come to King Solomon and they are fighting over the identity of a baby. So they both had babies at the same exact time. One, their baby died. The other, the baby lived. And the woman whose baby lived is accusing the woman whose baby died of stealing the baby. So they come in front of King Solomon and they ask Solomon to solve the riddle. Whose baby is this? And Solomon says, my solution is I'm going to cut the baby in half. And the woman whose baby died says, fine. And the woman whose baby lived says, no, I don't care whether or not this is, it doesn't matter to me if she, I'd rather she have the baby than that the baby die. And Solomon immediately says, okay, you're obviously the mother because you care whether the baby lives or dies. Understand that for the radicals in our society, the destruction is the point. It is not about what it is replaced with. And it is not about destruction of the system. It is about destruction of you. It is about destruction of people who do not think like they do. They don't care if they have to take the hit in New York by vaccinating, by vaccine mandates, and you got to take a vaccine to get on a plane, because it doesn't affect them. It affects you. This is more about revenge against people who do not think the way they do than it is about promulgating anything good or beneficial. They don't care whether you get vaccinated. If they did, they would actually try to convince you to get vaccinated if you're unvaccinated. They don't care about any of that. What they care about most deeply is their continuing sense of moral superiority and your continued feeling of moral inferiority. And if they can elect somebody who is going to bang on all of the people they hate most, then all the rest of it, they can go to whatever fancy cocktail parties they want and be as hypocritical as they want. They can hang out with AOC and the celebs at whatever Tony Ritzy gala they want to go to, because they are better than you. Alrighty, we'll be back here later today with an additional hour of content. Coming up soon is the Matt Walsh Show. It airs at 1:30 p.m. Eastern. Be sure to check it out over at dailywire.com. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe. And if you want to help spread the word, please give us a 5-star review and tell your friends to subscribe too. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, be sure to check out the other Daily Wire podcasts, including The Andrew Klavan Show, The Michael Knowles Show, and The Matt Walsh Show. Thanks for listening. The Ben Shapiro Show is produced by Elliot Feld. Executive producer, Jeremy Boring. Our supervising producer is Mathis Glover. Production manager, Pavel Wydowski. Associate producer, Bradford Carrington. Post producer, Justin Barber. The show is edited by Adam Sajewicz. Audio is mixed by Mike Coromina. Hair and makeup is by Fabiola Cristina. Production assistant, Jessica Kranz. The Ben Shapiro Show is a Daily Wire production. Copyright, Daily Wire 2021.
AOC and the rest of the ruling class got together at the Met Gala last night to celebrate their wealth. Also, a new poll shows that an increasing number of vaccinated Americans are cutting off ties with unvaccinated friends. Secretary of State Blinken admits that many of those SIV applicant Afghans we're admitting into the country are not actually SIV applicants. And a male MMA fighter enters the ring with a female fighter and beats her into submission. This is being celebrated as a brave and beautiful moment in sports history. But I have a different take, as you can imagine. All of that and more today on The Matt Walsh Show.